760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and happy Friday. We are so thrilled to have you aboard, and you're going to have a marvelous hour. And Josh is still not here with us. He is in Rome, Italy, and he is going to be encountering that beautiful canonization of those two amazing saints. And we are super duper blessed to have Andy Lichtenwater here with us.
Good morning, everybody.
He is our, I know he's our co-host for the day. He is the director of the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship for the Archdiocese of Atlanta and parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena in Kennesaw.
That's right.
So we always love having you on. So would you like to lead us in prayer?
Yeah, I'd love to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who suffered for us to save us. And we remember on this Friday the great gift of Jesus's self-gift for us. Help all those who are suffering, Lord, and those we know who we are lifting up in prayer that need mercy and healing, including ourselves. And we just give thanks for this Friday to remember the gift of the cross and to look with great confidence to the resurrection. And Lord, we ask the intercession of Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, soon to be saints. We ask their intercession that we may constantly strive for you. Blessed Carlo and Blessed Frassati, pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Praise God.
Woohoo.
I'm so glad you're here. We had you come on and, you know, talk about certain things, and then we're like, well, would you want to reflect on the gospel? Now we've got you co-hosting. We do this with people.
Hey, this is a stretch. It's stretching me. Thanks.
I love it. That's the way it works, right?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit stretch.
Just don't get scared and run away from the quest, okay? We need you.
No.
That's right. I'll try to be like Josh today. It has that low voice. Hello, everybody.
There you go. I love it. Oh, no, I love it. And Andy, before we came on, you were talking about something pretty cool that's happening.
Yeah, this weekend, obviously, the canonizations of Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, they were delayed, you know, with Pope Francis's death and some of the interregnum time period. But while both of them are happening this weekend, Sunday, Josh is over there, you know, to experience it. But here locally, we have a massive Thanksgiving at Holy Vietnamese Martyrs Catholic Church, and that's just off of Beaver Ruin in 85.
Yeah.
And that's a massive Thanksgiving for the canonizations. Archbishop Hartmeier will be celebrating that. There'll be an opportunity to venerate the relic of first-class relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Wow.
And the Archbishop will be there for a Q&A session with young people. So
wow.
6 o'clock.
That is awesome.
6 o'clock Sunday at Holy Vietnamese Martyrs Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Great opportunity.
That is.
I think it's cool that he's doing the Q&A with the young people, because I think that with Carlo Acutis, you know, being canonized, I think that it's going to spark an interest in a lot of young people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Blessed Frassati as well, you know, who was a young adult
when
he passed away. So both of them, you know, kind of youth and young adults. Mm-hmm. And again, it shows just the witness of young people in the church that the Lord calls each one of us to holiness, no matter our age, right?
Yeah.
And we learn a lot.
But I think you're right. Both of them, I think they were young and everything, but Carlo Acutis, the fact that, you know, he played video games.
He's a millennial, right?
Yes.
What, the first millennial saint?
Yeah.
You know,
so I just think there's something more relatable to him, you know, especially with the young people today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's really exciting.
It is.
Totally, totally. So, yeah, but it's, golly, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And tomorrow I'm going to be going to
Oh, that's right. You're going to be at Pinecrest tomorrow. They've got their Paladin Pacer.
So if you're going to be going to the race, you'll get to see me and I'll say hello.
Stop by and see Allison and say, hey, can I have a Quest magnet to put on my car?
Plenty. Well, and truly, when it comes to those magnets, there are many people that I've seen them and tuned into the Quest, and some of them have come back home. So talking about evangelization, even a magnet on your car can evangelize to the many.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, is going to be talking to us about some upcoming opportunities for us to grow closer to the Lord and encounter him in a more personal way. Don't forget our scripture verse of the week, Sirach 21:2. Flee from sin as from a snake, for if you approach sin, it will bite you. Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Teresa of Calcutta. And Andy Lichtenbonner is here to help us unpack this Sunday's gospel. As well, he is going to be talking about some wonderful framework for youth and young adult ministry. So that's all coming up.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
It is 8:06, and again, we are thrilled to have Andy Lichtenbonner back. He is the director of the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship for the Archdiocese of Atlanta and parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena. And today, he is going to be sharing some information and highlights from the 2024 Council of Catholic Bishops Pastoral Framework on Ministry for Youth and Young Adults entitled Listen, Teach, and Send. So how timely, again, with the canonization of those two amazing saints coming up.
Yeah, definitely, Allison, and thanks again for having me on. And the opportunity to be with y'all.
Thanks for being here.
So the bishops of the U.S. last year issued a pastoral framework for youth and young adult ministry. And this is something that, you know, for most of us in the church, we don't necessarily hear about these things.
No,
you know, if you're working in the church as a ministry leader, you're more attuned to it. But documents that come out from the USCCB aren't always, you know, well known. But this is important. It's an important document. It's something that's coming on the heels of these pastoral plans that came out in the 1990s for youth ministry and young adult ministry that really set the stage for the ministry with young people in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then since then, you know, the bishops have spent a lot of time having dialogue, conversations, different events, gathering young people together. And then we had the Synod on Young People in 2017 to 2019 or around that time frame. And Pope Francis issued Christus Vivit in 2019, which was his exhortation on young people. So this is really a document from our bishops, from our spiritual fathers in this country, setting forth a new vision. It's also an old vision, too, but it's one that's always renewed.
Yeah.
To see young people and their call to missionary discipleship, and how does the church engage them, support them, and recognize them as agents of evangelization and support them in that work.
No, that is so great. And it is important, I think, because, you know, different ministries pop up or different ways of evangelizing, you know, the youth and the young adults. They always are popping up.
Right. There's so much happening in this country, especially. We've been blessed with so many different apostolates.
Yeah.
I mean, we can think of things like Life Teen. We think of things like Focus with campus ministry and the missionaries that evangelize in so many ways. And really, youth ministry in this country has had a really strong history and different places where young adult ministry has really grown. But it's always an opportunity for us to grow again. Like, we're called to ongoing conversion, and even in the way that we do ministry and think about ministry in the church. I think one of the hallmarks of this document in particular is recognizing young people as agents of evangelization, as disciples, you know, that call. So when we think of ministry with young people, it's not just ministry for them or to them by older generations. It's also empowering them, inviting them to evangelize, to be disciples, that we need them, that they are the church now. So the way we think about young people, not just as kind of an abstract category of people that, you know, young people that need evangelization, we tend to sometimes think of them as, oh, the problem or like all the challenges, but there's such great hope in young people today, those who give their lives for Christ and bring others to Christ. And this document is calling attention to that.
Well, and I saw an article a few weeks ago, but it was a study. I wish I had it in front of me, but it was just saying that the millennials and the, what's the next one, Gen Z, that they're coming back to the church. Like, there's more and more of them that are faithful, and especially the men, the young men are coming back.
We see these lights happening. I mean, obviously the work of the Holy Spirit and drawing hearts closer. And I've heard the same thing, especially with young men, a desire for, you know, a hunger for adventure, a hunger to serve, to sacrifice more, and to be close to Jesus and to really fulfill his mission that he has sent out. So really beautiful. There's good things happening.
And I think part of it is because of things like this. And also you can't discount Carlo Acutis.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
I mean, I know.
You can play video games and also be a saint.
Yes.
Exactly.
And wear Nike shoes. I'm like, it's so funny. When I was in high school, that was super popular. And I'm like, it's so funny. It just doesn't go away, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, you know, what can you kind of unpack what is in this document? You know, who are the bishops speaking to and what are they emphasizing
within this? Yeah, great question, Allison. So, you know, listen, teach, send. We'll get into that. I mean, that's really guiding the framework of the document. But the bishops first address young people themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they speak to the youth and young adults, and there's a letter to them at the very beginning. There's a preface, actually, by Bishop Barron, who was chairman of the committee at the time. Everybody knows Bishop Barron.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If you're interested to hear what he says, you know, read the document. It's available at usccb.org. Listen, teach, send.
So anybody can read this document?
Anybody can read the document. It's,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And this is the cool thing about it. You know, it's while it's also addressed to ministry leaders as well, there's a deep sense of how the family is the first place.
Oh, yeah,
for this.
The domestic church.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
We parents, we are called to, you know, show the faith and live out
the faith.
So we're teachers ourselves.
Amen. So this document is addressed directly to parents as well, you know, in addition to others who work with young people and young people themselves. But, you know, the main part of the document when it's focused on leaders and parents and those working with young adults and youth, you know, this framework of listen, teach, send. I think as a church, you know, as the Catholic Church generally, you know, we've tended to do a pretty good job with teaching, mm-hmm. at least when it comes to catechesis and an emphasis on that. But thinking of the whole process of evangelization, you know, where you're encountering people, you want to get to know them. You want to listen to them, listen to their experiences.
Yes.
So think of the Emmaus journey. This whole document is built on Jesus's walk with the two disciples going to Emmaus after his resurrection, listening to them, hearing their experience, you know, getting to know them. But then he moves to teaching them.
Oh, yeah. You know, and their hearts were burning.
Yeah. Evangelizing. Like Jesus is evangelizing, opening up the Word of God, showing them all these things that connect with what happened to him. To, you know, the Old Testament and leading into the beautiful truth of the New Testament. But then they're sent. They're sent when Jesus reveals himself fully in the Eucharist, in the breaking of the bread, where he, you know, he disappears, but it's ascending. It's a mission. They're running off. They're running back to Jerusalem to share the good news with the other apostles and disciples. And so that framework, it's guiding. It really needs to guide all of our ministries, but the bishops take time unpacking it, how it relates to youth and young adults here.
And that is so important.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about, because the listen part, you know, because I think that has probably been missing a lot, where you're teaching, and, you know, one size fits all, but if you listen, you kind of, you have a better ability to meet this person where they are.
Yeah.
Right. It's important as a parent, I mean, as a dad myself, and thinking of the ways that sometimes I don't listen well, to really understand what's going on with my kids. For catechists, you know, you think of, you know, in sessions where sometimes the tendency is, oh, we're so focused on kind of getting the content out, the teaching, but if the questions aren't there to have the interest in the truth of the content,
absolutely.
Like, are we asking the right questions? Are we hearing from the people whom we're serving, and the young people especially?
Yeah.
Hey, just a quick note too, is this might be missed sometimes. You know, in the U.S. here, we have a distinction between youth and young adults that sometimes isn't there around the world. Like when we talk about World Youth Day, the way the rest of the world understands that is mainly young adults, actually.
Oh.
It's a young adult context, that youth is a broader word in the world. Like here, where we take time distinguishing like youth as adolescents,
like high schoolers.
Middle school, high school, and then young adults, late teens, all the way up into their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different circumstances there. So the bishops recognize that distinction, and that the ministry aspects of it, they're distinct, but there's a lot of commonalities. Mm-hmm. That's why the bishops kind of treat them together. But in a U.S. context, we're always thinking of those distinctions too, because on the one hand, we're talking about like youth, you know, who are really still under the charge of their parents and guardians. And then adults, you know, who are young, but they're out in the world. They're in college or working.
And some of these young adults could have a youth children. You know, they could be parents of these.
That's right. So keeping all those distinctions in mind, it is important. Is important to kind of think about in terms of ministry. But yeah. So one last thing is, we're having this ministry workshop coming up. This is in October 10th through the 12th at Covecrest, which is in Northeast Georgia. Thanks to Lifeteam, who's so generous in giving us that space. But the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, is hosting this regional workshop. And this is for all ministry leaders, whether you're in a parish or diocese or apostolate working with youth and young adults. And it's really just an opportunity to spend time with this document, listen, teach, send, to pray about it, to have discussions about it, to strategize around it, where the Lord is calling us to grow in ministry with youth and young adults. So it's a great opportunity. More information is available at archatl.com. And if you just search for Listen, Teach, Send workshop.
And that's not on our event calendar yet, but it will be soon at the questatlanta.com.
Awesome.
So Andy Lichtenwalder, thank you so much for telling us about this.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, is going to be talking about some upcoming opportunities to help us all grow closer to the Lord and encounter him in that more personal way. Chuck Persner is going to be helping us get acquainted with St. Teresa of Calcutta. And Andy Lichtenwalder is going to be helping us unpack this Sunday's gospel.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Well, we are delighted again to have Andy Lichtenwalder here with us, and he is going to be helping us unpack this Sunday's gospel.
Come, Holy Spirit. This is the gospel for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, a gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah, what a gospel.
Yes.
I mean, one of the great cost of discipleship gospels, you know, that we have from our Lord, just the passages and something really not to be passed over too lightly. I'll get to the elephant in the room soon, the word hate, but
right. Well, okay, go ahead.
But first, you know, every time the Lord is teaching anything that he's doing, you know, he's not only conveying important truth, he's also revealing something about himself here. And that just kind of came to me and thinking about the passage, praying over it. You know, what is the Lord revealing about himself here? You know, everything else in the world pales in comparison to him.
Yeah.
Right? And really only God is worthy of such a following that the Lord is asking for. And certainly rabbis at that time, different teachers, you know, had followings and people kind of giving up things to follow teachers. But the Lord, we know who the Lord is. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord is not just a man. He's truly God, true God and true man, the divine Son of the Father. And so in a way, he's revealing something about himself that can only make sense when we understand that Jesus truly is God.
Yes.
God himself, God in the flesh. And that's just really powerful. Now, how about the elephant in the room?
Well, explain that.
I mean, I don't know if I can explain it well, but let's just take I mean, obviously the Lord doesn't contradict himself. God doesn't contradict himself. You know, the Lord is always calling us to love God, love our neighbor, to love one another as he has loved. Obviously, Jesus loves his blessed mother, Mary, and calls us to love her. You know, he entrusts his mother to John and to all of us from the cross. So we know that Jesus is doing something here with the word hate. It's a strong word, and it's strong for, you know, a lot of reasons. Obviously, there's some hyperbole involved here, a kind of an idiomatic expression here. But what is he talking about here? He's saying that, you know, if we are not prepared to give up everything for him, we can't be his disciple.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not prepared to renounce all our possessions. Now, he's not calling all of us to just give up our homes, give up our clothes, give up, you know, our families, that type of thing. But he's saying anything that gets in the way of following him is an obstacle to discipleship. Now, the beautiful thing is, I mean, Jesus has raised up things like marriage to a sacrament, you know, so that the family itself becomes this domestic church through the grace of our Lord. And like everything that we have, everything that we are is his, and is called to be constantly surrendered to him. But hey, I play guitar. I love guitar. And I have a few guitars. You know, if I lost those, whether in a fire or in a flood or something like that, would my life be ruined if I lost those things?
Right.
You know, I hope not. I'd be challenged, certainly, because I like those things. If I lose my family members, you know, what would our response be? Yes, great sadness, great tragedy.
Devastating, yeah.
Devastating, right? But the Lord is also calling us to trust him in the good and the bad times, to entrust everything that we are, everything that we have to him. I think this is a challenging passage. I mean, sometimes with challenging passages, we tend to make it easier. You know, we find a way to kind of fit it into our life, you know. But I think, you know, as all the gospel passages do, and the words of our Lord, they call us to constant conversion, ongoing conversion, in ways that can be surprising at times. And like somebody like St. Francis that kind of gave it all away. You know, some people are called to that, to a particular radical witness. Obviously, as a father, I'm not called to that in terms of my possessions, but the words that come to me are holy detachment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we living in a spirit of detachment from the things of this world, as important as they are, because God created them?
Mm-hmm.
But are we detached from them in a sense that they're not becoming obstacles to following Jesus completely?
Well, and I know I can't be alone here, but I struggle with this because there are so many things on this earth that distract me from God.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, and a lot of times, you know, I've got to pull myself, it's like, wait, what am I doing here? Why am I so focused on this? You know, this gospel really kind of hits home here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it challenges me. I'm assuming it challenges all of us, right?
No, it does. But what a gift of grace, Dave, that when you're aware, hold on a second, what am I doing? Let me focus on what's important. That doesn't always happen to people, so that is huge.
Well, it doesn't always happen to me either. Sometimes I'll be distracted for a while before I'm like, oh, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, we think of the context of this gospel, too. I mean, the large crowds that were following Jesus at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at that time, many were thinking that this is the Messiah that's going to change the political order of the world and bring a radical worldly peace.
Yeah.
And Jesus is shaking them up to say there's something different about discipleship. And he continually invites us to something bigger.
I love that.
Deeper.
And that might be a takeaway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just kind of like how do we see Jesus in our life? Who is he for us? Is he truly, truly the Lord of everything? You know, have we given up everything for him? And that's a constant call. And it's day by day by day, recommitting, surrendering ourselves to him.
Mm-hmm. And I would say saying, Lord, help me be able to surrender my all. Help me, you know?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Andy Lichtenwalder, for helping us unpack the upcoming Sunday's gospel.
You got it.
It is 8:27 and from the Good News Network. You know, sometimes technology can feel like a little guardian angel, can it? Get this. This was an amazing story. A teenager named Lindsay dozed off at the wheel and had a terrible crash. The car hit two poles and a tree, which is absolutely terrifying, and she was trapped and badly hurt. But here's the amazing part. Lindsay's iPhone 14 actually called 911 all by itself, thanks to this crash detection feature.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
I had no idea that this is on an iPhone. Okay.
Yeah.
So picture that. Her phone noticed the impact and immediately got help rolling her way, even though she couldn't reach out herself.
Wow. So it actually is a smartphone.
Yeah.
It is. And this is what's cool. Lindsay ended up on the phone with emergency crews for more than 20 minutes while they worked to find and rescue her. And can you imagine? She was able to talk to them while she waited, broken bones and all.
Wow.
I'm still blown away.
That's wild. Well, you were So that was on an iPhone, right?
Yes. There's a certain feature in here. So when it was all over, Lindsay's mom said it felt like a miracle that her daughter survived. She's recovering slowly but surely, and the family is so grateful, not just for the first responders, but for the technology that truly saved a life that day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I don't have an iPhone. I'm one of those weirdos that has a...
Oh, you're not weird, Dave.
Galaxy.
You're special.
But I looked it up, and this is available on Galaxies as well.
Yeah, very cool. So yeah, technology can serve a lot of good.
Yeah, so I went in and set mine so that now if I'm in an accident, it's going to call 911 for me.
Well, you know what? So yeah, make sure you check your own phone settings to see if you have it on there. And if you've got an iPhone 14 or newer, there's this emergency SOS crash detection option. It only takes seconds to turn on, and you never know. It could be life-saving, and it's always a great reminder God can use anything, even a smartphone, to protect us and to help us in surprising ways. And sometimes those little blessings come through the most unexpected forms.
And then you can just Google emergency SOS for whatever model phone you have, and the instructions will pop up.
Love it. Love it.
I have an older model, so that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Coming up, the end of the show, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, will be unpacking some opportunities to help us grow closer to the Lord and encounter him in a more personal way. And coming up next, Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Teresa of Calcutta.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. So today on September 5th, First Friday, for those who keep that very powerful devotion, is the optional memorial of St. Teresa of Calcutta, a great modern-day saint that I would venture to say most of our listeners remember. A few of the youngsters may not, but they undoubtedly know who she is because of the profound impact she left behind. Mother Teresa, as she became affectionately known, passed away in the year 1997. It seems so far away, doesn't it?
It does. I remember when she passed away.
Yeah. It feels like she was just in our midst yesterday.
I agree.
Those things, I guess, as you get older.
Yes, time flies, right?
As Groucho Marx says, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a grape. You made me think of that when I said that.
There you go.
We don't typically quote Groucho Marx during these segments, but I always loved his movies. Anyway, she was a St. Teresa of Calcutta, that is, not Groucho Marx, a missionary and nun who devoted her life to helping those most in need. Mm-hmm. In the year 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity in India, which was a religious order dedicated to helping those in most dire need of help, really. The homeless, the indigent in the streets of Calcutta, those who were on the verge of dying.
Yeah.
So that they could enter into eternal life with dignity. With a dignified death. And over those 45 years, Mother Teresa ministered to these poor, sick, and orphaned individuals throughout the impoverished streets of Calcutta. She was born Agnes Gongcha Bojahu in Skopje, which is now present-day Macedonia. Agnes was raised by a very devout Catholic family, in fact, and they were of some wealth, which allowed them to regularly help the poor and the abandoned. So here we see a good holy household.
Wow, she grew up serving those that were in major need.
And you think of the impression their parents must have made on her as a young girl.
Absolutely.
Because, again, they were people of wealth in that section of India where there weren't that many people of wealth, but they chose to use it for a greater good.
Yes.
So for the parents who are listening, we know, right, the impact that we have on our children through our actions and choices. At that young age, they pick up on these things. But after her father died at a young age, her mother had the greatest influence on her. And in fact, at the age of 18, she felt the call to serve God. Mm. And she joined the Loreto Sisters in, of all places, Dublin, Ireland.
No way.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. That's
I did
where she
not
started
know that
her religious life. She chose the name Therese in honor of the saint she greatly admired, Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower. Mm-hmm. But another sister had already chosen the name, so Agnes became Teresa.
Oh, wow.
With the Spanish spelling, T-E-R-E-S-A.
Yeah.
In the year 1929, she arrived in Calcutta and took her final vows in 1937. She began teaching at a girls' primary school and quickly became known as Mother Teresa. Mm. From there, she became the school principal in 1944. And then one day on a train in the year 1946, she received what she discerned to be, as she called it, I quote, a call within a call. And she knew right then that she must start a religious order to serve the poorest of the poor. Mm. And her order, the Missionaries of Charity, was established in 1950. However, her work was not limited to religious vocations and included many other lay organizations as well. She would go on to serve in that capacity until in the year 1979, she received the Nobel Peace Prize for her help amongst the poor. By the time of her death in 1997, a good 18 years or so later, the Missionaries of Charity had over 4,000 sisters serving in about 120 countries. So here we see in St. Teresa of Calcutta, a woman of undying hope, extraordinary charity. Now, as many listeners know, and this kind of came out in later years, she did go through years of dryness, wherein she questioned even the very existence of God. But as a woman who persevered through the dark times that all of us inevitably will have on this faith journey, and that shouldn't be overlooked, because I think sometimes we see these saints and we view them as someone who was holy
from the day they came out of the crib. Nothing happened. Everything was easy. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So she had her moments of doubt. She had her moments of dryness. Mm-hmm. But by the time of her death, as we said, in the year 1997, her impact was unbelievably profound in that the Missionaries of Charity had those 4,000 sisters serving in was about 120 countries.
Yeah.
She was beatified by her good friend, Pope John Paul II, in the year 2003, and then canonized by Pope Francis in the year 2016. So there we have a saint for our lifetime, a saint that serves as a great role model for anyone. And, you know, if you're looking to seek the intercession of St. Teresa of Calcutta today, I would venture to say, let's pray that we can all become more charitable, because we all need to grow in charity.
Absolutely.
And I can't think of a better saint to look to for that particular intercessory prayer.
Well, and listen to this quote. Peace begins with a smile. So when you think of charity, smiling at people.
Little things. And, you know, there's stories that have gone around about her where people would come up to her and say, "Sister, what will I do with my life that I can have the type of impact that you have?"
Yes.
And she would always tell them, find your own Calcutta. Mm-hmm. And it might just be within your family.
Absolutely.
It might be down the road.
Holy sandpaper.
Yeah. Wherever you may be, your Calcutta could be right in front of you.
Yes. No,
and
absolutely.
And was called to serve with that sublime charity that she always exhibited.
Here's another quote. If you judge people, you have no time to love them.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that is just profound, right?
Yeah, really is. Really is.
She is the patron saint of World Youth Day, the Missionaries of Charity, and the co-patron of the Archdiocese of Calcutta.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder who the other co-patron was. I meant to check that before we came on the air. If I was to guess, I would say perhaps St. Thomas. For all the evangelical work that he did throughout the country of India.
Yeah.
Although we did find out, too, that St. Bartholomew, who we celebrated not too long ago, had a profound impact through his apostleship throughout India as well. Maybe we'll have to research that and do a segment on whoever that might be. But here's a quote for you, Allison. I meant to bring this one up, too. This is very profound, and it really bears reflecting upon. Be kind to unkind people. They need it the most.
It is so true. I mean, I've had conversations with my children saying, you know what, when somebody's not nice to you, there's something wrong. There's something lacking in that heart of that person. So just don't get angry with them. Just be patient and pray for them.
Yeah. And when you reflect upon, because we have these people in our lives that anger us. And when we reflect upon the fact that they are at times miserable people, and that's not to put them down. They are misery filled. They are miserable. How much harder is it for them to have to live in their own skin? We have to put up with them through the times. But, you know, if we can remember to pray for them, you know, as the saints teach us, we don't have to like everyone, but we have to love everyone.
Yes.
How do we do that? We do that through prayer. And not returning hatred for hatred.
Amen.
And we just try and take the high road when we can.
That's what she was.
Yep.
She was there serving and bringing others to Christ. And you know what's interesting? What came to mind? One of my neighbors in the past, he was from India. They weren't Christian. But when they found out I was Catholic, they spoke about how highly everybody loved Mother Teresa. Everybody looked up to her.
Yeah.
So even those that are not Christian, what kind of witness are we going to bring and lead in our lives here?
Yeah, the saints transcend religious beliefs, because they live those rules of, again, supreme charity.
Yes.
Non-judgmental, you know, the quote that she offered. And just the unselfish nature of her life. You know, and again, in a couple of days, we're going to get a chance to talk about St. Peter Claver, a man whose life really mirrored St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Yeah.
It just so happened that his Calcutta was in Majorca, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to him in a few days. But it's a great month to really reflect upon these unbelievable saints who, in some cases, founded religious orders like St. Teresa of Calcutta. A few of the others who we have on the calendar, I won't give it away. We'll tease it a little bit here.
It's a surprise.
But these are great virtues to reflect upon and to ask ourselves, are we living these gospel virtues?
Yes.
Because this is really living the gospel.
Well, and that being said, final quote, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin.
That is so true. And we begin with little things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's clear when she talks about all the little things that she likes to do.
Yeah.
What saint does that remind you of?
Little Flower.
That's right.
Saint Teresa of the Lisieux.
Clearly her greatest inspiration. She took her name. This is Saint Teresa of Lisieux's little way. These little things. We are placed where we're placed by God's providence. Mm-hmm. So what do? We do what Teresa of Calcutta did, and we find our own Calcutta.
Amen.
Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, he's half right. Josh is not here. I'm here, Dave, along with Allison and Andy Lichtenwalder. Mm-hmm. Thank you for filling.
Hello.
Takes two of us to fill in for one Josh.
Yeah, that's right. At least.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
want to give a shout out to Jefferson. I mentioned in the last traffic report that I didn't think anybody was listening up there unless they were on the app. Well, there was somebody listening
you
on the app.
You were wrong, Dave. Yes. We have listeners everywhere.
Go Jefferson.
So, Lauren, thank you very much for listening this morning. And one thing that wasn't addressed in this gospel reflection that you did a little while ago, Andy, is the and I read this gospel this morning, and I had to go back and reread this because I'm like, did I read that right? Because it says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute, I need to hate my mother and father before I can follow Jesus? Is that what it's saying?
So it's tough, isn't it? So certain commentaries will talk about the idiomatic expression here that's being used. Like if you go back to, there's a passage in Malachi, a passage in Genesis that talks about hating, which tends to mean like loving less in the sense that, you know, we are not called to love our parents as we love God. Or
right.
anything, mm-hmm. or, you know, anything that, obviously, like, Jesus isn't going back on the fourth commandment. He's not contradicting, you know, honor your father and mother, and he's not contradicting himself, you know, in terms of loving others as I have loved. How has Jesus loved? He's given us the perfect self-gift of himself, you know, to save us, and we are called to take up our cross and do that, but there is something challenging here. You know, Jesus is shaking us up. He's shaking the people up at the time, too, that we're excited to see, you know, those that believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And, you know, the Messiah was thought to bring about a lot of political order and comfort and wealth and richness in the sense of things would be good now, like all on this earth. And Jesus is basically saying the exact opposite as a way to point them to something higher, something even mm-hmm. better. And he's continuing to do that. The world itself here is not our home. Mm-hmm. We are pilgrims.
Right.
We are made for something more. Now, God has created this world. He's created us out of love. But he's redeemed us for something more. He's always created us for himself and to keep him at the center. So even to the point of saying, like, we can't be disciples if we place our moms, dads, brothers, mm-hmm. sisters, higher than the Lord.
Anyone or anything on earth.
Anyone, anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really kind of a translation thing, right? Which happens a lot in the Bible.
It is. You know, at the same time, I mean, the word is really hate that's being used there.
Right.
But there's, you know, people will talk about these Semitic expressions, too, and the extremes of kind of love and hate. And somehow, you know, and this happens in other cultures, too, where these words are used to convey something deeper, mm-hmm. not to be taken in a literalistic sense, but mm-hmm. to convey something deeper for us. And this is what Jesus is doing here.
Great. Thanks for clearing that up, Andy.
Coming up on The Morning Quest,
Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel and director of adult evangelization, is going to be helping us grow closer to the Lord and share some ways that we can encounter Christ in a more personal way.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so delighted to have Kathleen Lindemann here with us. Again, she is the Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel and a parishioner. And wow, talking about Holy Spirit driven, and you are just on fire with sharing how people can grow closer to the Lord. There are some upcoming opportunities for people to join into. So we would love to have you share those, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Well, you know, we've been talking really on and off all summer long of how parents can engage their children to come closer to the Lord. And we have some unique opportunities coming up at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock that really might appeal and make it a little bit easier for parents to bring their children to an event like this. And one of the events that we're doing is happening tonight. It's called Come Encounter Christ. We've been doing these events probably close to a year now. On the first Friday of the month, what we do is we bring Jesus. It's a way of just elevating Jesus. Of course, we can elevate him so much at Mass, but this is really bringing it personal for the children, mm-hmm. and letting them understand that we not only consume Jesus during the Mass, but we can worship him through a beautiful way of doing that through adoration. So Come Encounter Christ, we have a live band called the 530 Band, and they're made up of two very talented people. One is the music director of our church, Nyla Alexander, and then we have Eric Alexander, who does the music at St. Brendan.
Yes.
In Cumming. And they know some people who are professional musicians, and they all come together. There's 6 to 8 of them. They come together, and what they put on is just a very holy hour of praise and worship to our Lord. And what we do is we carefully prepare the altar, because we are going to put Jesus on that altar. And so we have hundreds of candles on the altar. Mm-hmm. I have I've made up a group called the Candle Ladies of Light.
Oh.
And they come together about an hour before this takes place, and they carefully and beautifully prepare the altar for the monstrance, which will hold Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have candles going down the aisles, candles in the windows. We have the lights dimmed, because as we have talked about in the past, God uses all of our senses to come into contact with him. You know, the sense of the incense, the visual, you know, hearing, all of this, mm-hmm. comes into play as we open our hearts to the Lord. And then we have our pastor who will be presiding tonight, Father Larry Neese. He'll come down the aisle with Jesus, place Jesus carefully on the altar. We will have a couple of songs, and then that stops, and then Father gives us a 15 to 20 minute beautiful message. It could be a personal story he has, trying to relate to the families where they are and how they can become more engaged with the Eucharist. And then we have a time of silent adoration. We have silent in terms of no one speaking, but we have light piano music going, and you just spend that time with Jesus. And what this is all doing is Father is preparing them to realize you can have a conversation with Jesus right now. Mm. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what your sorrows are. Tell him what you're thankful for. Tell him what you're praying for. Just open that all up towards him. And then Father comes, and he brings the monstrance with all of the altar servers, and we usually have a deacon or two. Today we'll have Deacon Kelly Stinson, and he will follow Jesus, and Father goes throughout the entire church, no matter where you're sitting. Even if there's an area in the church where there's one person, Jesus is going to come to them.
Yeah.
And he spends just a few seconds in front of every pew going down the entire church so that you can have a close-up encounter with Jesus and realize the magnificence of what you are seeing. The power, it's a power hour with, mm-hmm. Jesus. It's absolutely beautiful. And what this does is it allows parents, you know, sometimes it's hard for parents to talk about, okay, Jesus is body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And they're trying to teach that to their children. Like Andy said earlier in the program, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the teaching, mm-hmm. that we really lose our young ones. This is an opportunity for families to just come and let their children see other young people, other older people, just people in general, bowing and crying and reaching out for Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just incredible. I have my grandson, two grandsons, Noah and Isaac. They come to serve sometimes, and to watch them walk around, you know, helping the priest bring Jesus to every pew, and the look on their faces when they see how people are reacting to Jesus. You can't walk away and say that didn't touch me.
Yeah.
It opens the heart and allows the heart to be full with the presence of God.
Well, and what I love about this too, Kathleen, is people can just come and just be quiet and be still and say, Lord, speak to me. I am here. You know? So yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah. And it's just an opportunity. Even if you're not, you know, maybe you're not as devout. What is this all about? Just come and sit in the presence. Let the music elevate your soul. These are all opportunities that break open the heart, right? Allow the heart to receive. If we don't do that for ourselves, like what do we have? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is there in every moment, all the moments of our lives, you know, the happiness, the sorrow, the questionable. He is all there. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful evening. And I can't wait to put it all together tonight again. And we have this on the first Friday of the month. So we'll have, you know, this Friday, we'll have it in October, November, and December. Every first Friday of the month, we'll have Come Encounter Christ. And we'll have a different presider giving the message. It's not just Father Larry or Father Fosto, but we even have our deacons able to do that and to share what the Eucharist means to them and, to spark that desire to adore God in this way.
That's beautiful. And that takes place tonight at 7 p.m. at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock. So, yeah, everybody is welcome. And I know, Kathleen, there's something else coming up at St. Michael's called Becoming Eucharist. Can you quickly unpack that a little bit?
Sure. We'll talk about that in future talks for sure.
Yeah.
But Becoming Eucharist is a six-week Eucharistic retreat that we'll be doing starting in October 14th, a Tuesday night, and October 15th, a Wednesday morning. And it's food for the soul and hope for the journey. We not only consume Jesus at Mass, but once we consume him, do we just walk out and, you know, we check the box that we received him? Or do we allow that Eucharist to allow us to deep inside bring that Eucharist in the way that we live our life, so that we're bringing Eucharist to people who might not have been at Mass, because we are living the light of Christ because we have received him. Now, how do we go out and change the world, change our families, change our workplaces, change the encounters we have at Publix or Kroger or Target
or the parking lot, right?
Yeah, there are opportunities constantly for us to share the love of Christ with others. And so this retreat, and we have six different speakers, 12 different presentations. We have fabulous meals. We'll be talking about that in the future.
Marvelous.
But it's a way to bring people together and learn how we can become Eucharist and set the world on fire.
Amen, Kathleen Lindemann. What a delight you are, and full of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely.
Amen.
So happy to be with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Wow.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey, and I just want to mention, too, that that's going on at St. Michael the Archangel. Yeah. But if your parish is doing something similar, you want to let everybody know about it, let us know about it.
Let us know. We'll be happy to put it on the calendar. And
Yeah, and every parish has the opportunity, the power of adoration, you know, the power of our Lord's presence being there. Such a beautiful reminder.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And like she was saying, even if you're not so devout, try it. Just try it.
Yes.
Just try going to adoration at your parish.
And let the Lord, I like saying, give you a suntan. S-O-N-tan.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, let's end in a holy way.
Well, let's thank Andy for being here.
Oh, thank you all.
Thank you, Andy,
you're
as
welcome.
Always.
Josh.
You're a delight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.